We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Dave Seifert, Director of College Scouting at D1 Baseball, joining us. Dave, welcome to the show. You're on with Mike Haas and Jeff Nowak. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
So it begins on Sunday, right, the draft, and we'll talk LSU a little bit. There's a bunch of guys, if you just kind of look at whatever top whatever you want to, Cade Anderson, Anthony Ianson, Chase Shores, Daniel Dickinson, Jared Jones. I think those are the LSU guys, at least in the top 100. How strong are the LSU kids going to be, do you think, in this draft?
Well, I think with Anderson, you're talking 1-1. He's most likely going to go there. If he doesn't go 1-1, he'll go second. So very strong start there. And Ianson, for me, he's going to go around pick 30, maybe a few before, maybe a few after. But obviously another real strong throwing there for him, after well, each of those two did in the World Series, but really the whole year. And then you mentioned Dickinson and Shores. I think both those guys, for me, Dickinson maybe a little bit earlier than Shores, but they're both second round, early to mid second rounders. And then Jared Jones, third round for me, but may go a little early as power special. And then the other guy I'd probably take in the top five rounds, or I would be Ethan Frye. Really liked him as well. He's just on the outside of that top 100 you referred to. He's probably around 110, 115, but those six are pretty strong.
You know, with Cade in particular, like obviously a few years ago, everyone knew why Paul Skenes was great. You could see it just pop up the screen at 100 miles an hour. But with Cade, it's a little bit more nuanced, it feels like. And, you know, he doesn't have that overpowering arm, but it's from the left side, which means he'll be up in the majors in the not-too-distant future. But what is it about Cade that makes him, in your opinion, the number one pick in the draft?
Well, he not only combines, you know, present performance, which is part of, obviously part of the factor. I mean, you don't want to, if you're going to 1-1, you don't want a guy who's all projection, right? Well, there's no projection. Well, there is some projection with Anderson. That's what the intriguing part is. He's this good now. He's slender built. He's going to put on some weight, add a little durability. I think clubs are a little afraid just with, you know, the Tommy John in 2022 he had, but also, he doesn't have the largest frame, but he's not skinny by any means. But they don't know if he'll be a one. But we're not looking at really anybody in the draft like Skenes, right? There's no ace out there. And Anderson's pretty special. Like I said, he's got the present performance. He's got some projection. And he has the stuff. I mean, he pitches with three main pitches, but he can just really manipulate the baseball. Excellent feel. He's competitive. He proved durable this year. Personally, I'm glad he bounced back from his 135 pitch outing at Oklahoma, but that was my big deciding factor when he went from, you know, maybe the fifth guy on the board to number one, where he bounced back from that. He stayed healthy and he performed even better after that. I mean, so that was a slam dunk for me.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it?
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
When you look at LSU baseball right now, really just, I mean, certainly the power of the transfer portal, the power of NIL money across the board at LSU, football, basketball, baseball, and then throw in the trifecta with Jay Johnson winning it in 23 and 25 and just got there in 21. I mean, that's the destination, right? I mean, you get from a transfer guy or an NIL guy or just a high school kid like William Patrick out of St. Frederick High School up in Monroe, And he's high on, and he's in the top 100, but he's kind of looking at LSU. I mean, they're just in one of these unique phases of excellence.
Yeah, I think everything you mentioned is 100% true. And I think if you look at, there's been four prep players to take their name out of the draft so far, and they're all four are very good. They're all top 150 prospects, so it's not like it's just some random kid taking his name out. But half of them, two of them, were LSU commits. So I think that even speaks more to the power of just LSU baseball right now. It's at a all-time high, and there's no slowing it down right now.
You know, so some of the other LSU guys, a guy like Ianson, you know, where do you expect him to fall? I think there's a pretty wide range for him, and he's got a skill set that I think will be intriguing at the pro level. I for the life of me can't figure out where I feel like he's going to go. I'm curious, where do you land on him?
I think he's going to go around pick 30, after the, they call it the comp round after the first, but before the second. I think that's where he'll land. I mean, those two breaking pitches he has, they're distinct breaking pitches. They're both swing and miss. I hate to say he only throws 96, 97. You know, that's kind of today's. But his fastball doesn't have the best metrics or the swing and miss behind it, but it's good enough when paired with those two breaking balls. And he's just competitive. He's athletic. He's everything else you're looking for in a pitcher.
I don't know if you were listening or you were on the line at the top of this conversation. I was talking about, because I'm going to be honest, I'm the Saints play-by-play guy. I don't spend a lot of time on the Major League Baseball draft, I got to be honest, but I'm in full transparency. But I'm looking through the list, and I'm going Corona High School, California, right? Seth Hernandez, top three. Billy Carlson, top seven. Brady Ebel or Ebel, I'm not sure how you say it, and another guy, Ethan. They got like four guys in the top 100. That's an amazing. Is that like a factory of for baseball?
Yeah, I think that whole part of the country is a factory. I've never heard of three on the same high school this high. I'm sure there's, going back, I'm sure there is somebody, but Ebel and Carlson, they're both shortstops, and they alternate games at shortstop. One plays short, and the other one plays third, and they just do it back and forth. Because can you imagine having two first-round shortstops on your high school team? So that's how the coach kind of solved that not really a problem, but that's how he went with it.
Wow, that's amazing. And the final question I have, because it started when we were talking about Cade Anderson and Tommy John, but do we look at Tommy John's surgery different than we did 15 years ago, maybe less? I was reading an article where parents of 15, 14-year-old kids were having unnecessary, unneeded, preemptive Tommy John surgery, almost for kind of it makes the arm better. Like, do we look at like Tommy John in a day, right? I'm old, was different, but now it doesn't feel like it carries the same kind of negativity.
Oh no, I agree 100%. When I was scouting with when I was with the Philadelphia Phillies, scouting just 12 years ago, 10 years ago, if the guy had Tommy John surgery in his past, his folder kind of went over in this stack, and then you kind of just picked off the other pitcher. You know, you kind of just ranked the other pitchers, how you're going to take him in the draft. But now it's not so much. I mean, now I think it's assumed that everybody will have a Tommy John surgery. Everyone will break down. It's just a matter of when. I think the thing that's being studied now is how long does that first Tommy John surgery last? So today I saw, just by chance that you asked that question, Clark Schmidt from the Yankees. I remember when he was drafted, he was drafted just after having Tommy John surgery. I believe it was 2017. Yeah, 2017 it was. And here it is 8 years later, he's going to have a second. So is it 8 years? Is it 5 years? Is it 10? Some guys have had three Tommy Johns, you know what I mean? So I think with Anderson, you just never know. It's on the individual. But so if a club says, okay, it's going to be 6 years, well, at least they got 6 years of Anderson before might happen again, and rush him to the big leagues and get your money, get your money as worth out of him as soon as you can. But to answer your original question, yeah, the view on Tommy John has totally changed.
Yeah, it's a strange thing, and it's like when you look at a pitch, you almost have to be like, okay, has he had it yet? All right, we're in a good range here. We could sign him for however long, at least in the pros. But I just got one more LSU question, and then we'll let you run. You know, we talked about the guys at the top. Some of these day two, the Monday, or I think the Monday's rounds 4 through 20, you know, Daniel Dickinson, Chase Shores, Jared Jones, Ethan Frye. Is there anyone in that group who you feel strongly about in terms of, okay, I think this guy's going to be a good pro? Like, who out of that group do you feel like profiles the best to the pro level?
Out of those four, I would, for me, it's Dickinson, just because he does everything well. You know, he doesn't have that super tool, but he's going to go grind it. I mean, heck, you can tell me my story's wrong, but this is at least what I heard. He didn't disclose a broken hamate until after the national championship was won, like, and he had it the entire playoffs. And that just speaks to his makeup. I know it also speaks to Coach Day being a little coy about injuries and things like that, which I totally 100% agree with. But, like, Dickinson to play through that, I know they dropped him in the order. I know his production wasn't the same, but that just speaks volumes. I've always liked him since I saw him in the Cape for the first time last summer. Again, he's not going to be – I don't think he's going to be a superstar, but he's going to be a darn good super utility type or a starter in his best years for in big leagues for a long time. Shores could do the same as a closer. I think it's obvious now he's not a starter, but if it was me, I'd go Dickinson and Shores. I also like Ethan Frye. Jared Jones got that power. There's just a lot of strikeouts there, and that usually doesn't play in pro ball. But, yeah, you got a whole mess of them. I like some of the relievers, too. I know you didn't really ask about them, but Mayers has been looking really good in the Major League Baseball Draft League. I know you guys saw his good arm all year, but he's throwing with better control now, and you never know what could happen if he gets just more consistent innings.
Well, it will be an exciting time Sunday and Monday. David, where can people read your stuff, get your stuff?
D1Baseball.com and also PrepBaseball.com. I handle the college scouting for both of those businesses.
Well, good. Well, we definitely appreciate your time on this Friday. Enjoy the weekend. I know it's a big time. It's always, you know, the draft is big for us here in New Orleans in football. And watching these LSU kids, it'll be exciting. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thanks, David.
David Seifert, Director of College Scouting at D1 Baseball.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall. Did he catch it?
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.